something, aren't we? I don't know. People tell, I never have that option of saying, well, I'm bored. I'm never bored. Believe me, as a Baptist pastor, I've never been bored. With all of you here in the church that we have, we're not bored. We've always got something to do. So, and more to do in the future. So you pray for one another. And Ephesians chapter 4, we are going to talk about the heirs of the ecumenical movement. We're going to talk again. This is kind of part two to the spirit of unity versus unity of the spirit. Because we didn't finish that. There's a lot to talk about with that. It really goes on even further. And we're going to get into some of the heirs of the ecumenical movement. This is why, you know, we could call this why I preach against the ecumenical movement or the spirit of unity. Because we don't have that. We don't have the spirit of unity like the world has and like the ecumenical world economic forum. Yeah, they're part of that too, right? And the World Council of Churches and all these other things. We don't have unity with any of them. See, you're always warring and you're always fighting. I know, because we don't hold to the spirit of unity. We don't hold to that. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now notice, this is King James specific, right? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. We're not talking about the spirit of unity. We're talking about the unity of the Spirit. There is a difference. One is based on absolute truth. The other is based off of some kind of phony and false counterfeit love that is taught. That is not part of the Bible. It's part of Antichrist counterfeit religion that is damning people to hell and destroying people's lives. And we are not a part of that, nor do we want to be a part of that. Let's pray. Father, Lord, help us as we look at the scriptures, as we define these things, as we embrace the unity of the Spirit versus the spirit of unity, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, there are more dangers to this spirit of unity that is out there. I want to explain something to you. The reason I'm starting with this spirit of unity before I get into actually teaching you on the unity of the Spirit is that the counterfeit is what is taught so much today. The counterfeit unity is what is taught. The Antichrist unity is what is taught today so much. So before we get into that true unity of the Spirit, you need to understand that it is not that counterfeit spirit that is taught in the world today. There is a reason why this church is different than most of the churches that is around it. There is a reason why it is different than all of the churches that are in Northfield, certainly, and many of the churches that are in the Midwest and even all over the country, that we are not unified with them. And I make clear to these people that we are not, there's no confusion on our part. We are not part of your community, nor do we want to be, because it is Antichrist. So we have to be clear with those things. And those are strong stands. Those are very strong statements to make, aren't they? But we mean to make those statements strong, don't we? When we go out on the street, did we want anybody to be confused as to where we stood and where we preach when we go out there? No. We make things very plain for them. In fact, you might say, for some people, we're too plain spoken, aren't we? They don't know how to handle it. Why? Because we use great plainness of speech. So when they walk away, they're not confused as to who we are or what we stand for. They're not. They're just troubled by who we are and what we stand for. But they're not confused as to who we are or what we stand for in that sense, because we make things very clear. Compromise has always had a destructive element. It's like rat poison. Much of that is good and can be edible. It's the little bit of poison that kills, isn't it? And Paul said it's a little leaven that leaveneth the whole lump, right? It's just a little bit of it. So two things that go quickly with this spirit of unity. The first is the King James Bible and then the music, or sometimes it's the opposite, but nevertheless, it both goes, the music and the Bible. Corrupt the church and destroy it. If you have a wrong Bible, you'll destroy the church. It just destroys it. It destroys its effectiveness. They're not effective. There's a reason why this one book is so effective. And the other one sounds like all the other ones are on the same team when they speak. Whether it be the world or the church. Right? They make no difference, like we talked about, between the holy and the profane. There's no difference. Most churches, there's no difference between the holy and the profane. That's unfortunate. That's ecumenicalism, right? That's a one world church. That's a one world. That's the world church. That's a world movement of unity. Again, there are some great notes here that I've used from the Way of Life Encyclopedia here that do help with that. The errors of that ecumenical movement. Though the ecumenical movement is very broad, there are certain unscriptural traits which are present throughout it. One of the number one things about it is the ecumenical movement downplays doctrinal purity and refuses to practice Bible separation. I finished up with this, but I'm starting with it again here just for us not to forget that point. Because that really is one of the main points. They hate doctrinal purity. And they will not practice biblical separation. There's a reason why we preach doctrine number one, and we preach biblical separation number two. Why is that? Why do we preach that? Well, we make no bones about it that we're not to align ourselves with the world. Let me just say this to you in all actuality. The reason why we preach biblical separation is a matter of the heart. It is. It comes from good doctrine. Okay, it always starts with good doctrine, and good doctrine should lead you into good practice. Amen. So there's a reason why if you go see your family members that go to a typical fundamental Baptist church and they're watching Disney movies and Hollywood movies and they're watching sexually explicit things and they're listening to bad music, there's a reason why you don't fit in there. Like, but we're all Christians. You may very well be a Christian, but you may be a disobedient one. And what does the Bible say? We're not saying they're not saved. We're saying they're not right. Do you understand that makes it worse? Do you get that? Do you get that it makes me worse? It makes it worse for me to hang out with those people that are professing Christians, that are confusing the world? That's why, like, I don't go watch their movies and go do the things that they do. Right? That's why when you hear, by the way, it's interesting. When you hear the disdain and when you hear us be very pointed against Christians that aren't walking with God and they get angry, well, Jesus saved his greatest rebukes for those people that profess to know him, but in works they denied him, being abominable and unto every good work reprobate. So what did he do? He fired off on them. Who did he have compassion for and who did he spare in that? The lost. He told them they were lost. But he didn't run from them. He preached to them. He didn't join in their sin. He told them, go and sin no more. But the ones that didn't walk with God, he told them, you're not walking with God. And you're not walking in truth. We're commanded. These are very important things. By the way, you want to confuse your children? Have them go to church. Have them hear good Bible doctrine and have them see horrible practice in your life. Like that you watch the same cussing movies or you speak the same way the world does. You speak perverted. You want to know why your coworkers, they can't figure you out when you go to work and you don't talk perverted like that? And they say, oh, they're in the cult, right, Paul? Those people that, you know why they say things like that to them? Because you don't talk like them. You don't act like them. You don't look at women as just an object of lust. And you don't talk about them like that. Right? They don't know how to handle that. Right. And if you don't, you're a homo, right? You must be a homo because you don't talk perverted. So that, by the way, that's a ploy to get you to give in to their perversion. Yeah, to shame you. They'll tell a young man, like they'll laugh about it and mock virgins. Like that's like it's a bad thing to be pure and not to be sexually defiled. Like that's a bad thing. they try to talk to you like it's a bad thing for you to be pure. No, it's a very holy thing for you to be pure. And in God's eyes, it's counted of a great price. Amen. You don't let them talk to you. You don't let them shame you with the truth. I look at them and I tell them, you know, you can't shame me. You think you're going to call me a cult or I'm some kind of pastor that leads a cult and you do this? You think you're going to shame me? What, you think I'm going to feel bad? What, am I going to blush because you do that? What, am I going to back off of this book because you do that? Am I going to stop living for God because who, you made fun of me? He saved my never-dying soul, so I'm not a lost wretch like you. So I'm not some kind of a pervert like you. So I can actually be useful to God. Amen. You think you're going to shame me? Yeah, right. Try to make fun of me. Make fun of my children because they're not perverts and whores. Go ahead. Amen. I mean it. You better buck up, you men. You better stand up, and you ladies, you better not be ashamed of how you've been raised and how God has blessed you in purity, that you have your purity, because God's got something for you, and it's better than this world has. This world will use you like a cheap rag. They'll steal your purity, and they'll watch you die of a venereal disease. And they'll laugh all the way when they steal your virginity and they steal your purity from you. They'll laugh at you and they'll mock you. Well, let them mock and laugh at you for righteousness. Let them mock and laugh at you for being separated and sanctified. Don't be bothered by them laughing at you because you're not a whore. Amen. You better be listening to me. I mean it. I mean every word I'm saying to you. Because they'll steal that away from you. They'll try to shame you into doing that. I'm telling you that because I get it. I understand it. See, I wasn't saved, but when I was a young man, I had those influences against me, and I wasn't a Christian. But I had those, and older women and older men, they talked me into doing things and destroying my life practically. Amen. Right? So I get it. I understand it. I understand what they want to do. And all they want to do is taunt you with those things and then watch you as you walk away from your faith or as you backslide into sin and as you try to get along with them. I don't want to get along with them. They're a bunch of perverts and freaks. They don't even know what boys and girls are. You think you could shame me? You don't even know what a boy or a girl is. How can you shame me? You can't shame me. Sin shames me. Sin brings me to shame. You can't shame me. You can't shame me by making fun of me for walking with God. Amen. Set your face as a flint. Biblical separation. It's important. I ain't going to get through this. I'm going to lose my voice probably before I get through it. See, I was preaching all that time there and... All right, here we go. I'm getting excited. I'm losing my voice, but I'm still getting excited. All right, Romans chapter 16. We're going to look at those verses again. I feel like I could preach all day on this, to be honest with you. I guess we're not going anywhere, are we? Lee might get hungry, but that's okay. He won't starve. You'll be fasting like me till 5, and then you can eat then. Well, your head probably fall off if you did that. No, and you've done it before. Romans 16, 17 and 18. Man, this is so important to me. I care about this so much. I don't want you kids to let the world pressure you. Don't you let this world pressure you into anything. Don't you let them. Don't you let them. They can't make me blush with holiness. Why? Because my wife doesn't walk around half naked for the whole world to see. My daughters don't look like sluts. What, you think I'm going to be ashamed of that? Come on, man. Bring it on. Bring it on. Really? I'm getting fired up just thinking about it. I am, because they can't do. Why would you give anybody any power like that to make you feel bad? They have none. If God be for us, who could be against us?
Amen.
That's what I say. Go ahead, bring it on. Whatever, give me your best shot. Yeah, they are. And they want to defile and destroy, because that's the way I was when I was lost. All I could do was defile and destroy. And then I got saved by the way, everybody loved me when I was lost. They all liked me when I was lost, right? I was fine. Man, I could party with them. I could do all those other things, right? I could live my life. It's okay. You start standing up, you get saved by the grace of God and start standing up for the Lord. Guess what? They don't like you no more. Huh? Like swearing Jack Waller said, man, when I was swearing and a drunk, you liked me. When I was swearing and I was a drunk, you liked me. You didn't have a problem with me. Now you're beating me half to death when I'm standing on the streets preaching. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Romans 16. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. By the way, that's what they want to do with good words and fair speeches. They don't separate and they got no power. And you got tons of churches out there and pastors. You think they'd preach a message like, you think they'd look at women and say, don't dress like a whore? Do you think they'd even define what a whore is? Now they skip over those verses. You know why? Because they don't want to offend anybody. I'm talking about their own people. Well, you know what? For your people not to dress like whores, they need to know what a whore dresses like. And not what the world says a whore dresses like, but what God Almighty says a whore dresses
Amen.
Like.
That's good.
See the difference? See the difference? Why? Because if I go by the world, then that's not so bad. But if I read what the authority says, this King James Bible says the way a whore dresses, then guess what? You ain't going to dress like a whore if you want to be right with God. Because you're going to see what it says here. See, that's the authority of it. That's the authority of the Scriptures. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement at the temple of God with idols? If ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them.
Amen.
Amen. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate. You think, I'm telling you, I'm so sick. These gag and puke preachers, I'm so sick and tired of them. And I'm talking about naming names like Paul Chappell and like Hiles Anderson and all these other groups, all these other preachers and like Clarence Sexton and their schools. You think they'd preach anything like this? You think they'd come out and say that? You think they'd come out and say that? No, because they got their big colleges and all their money and they don't organize according to the Scriptures anyway. So they won't even talk about it. They won't tell people what they think. Or what the Scriptures say, they'll tell them what they think, won't they? They won't tell you what the Scriptures say. Think they tell them, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Amen. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Going to be on this for a week, I think, or a month. Not a week, a month. We talked about that verse. Let me move on. Let's move on to Galatians chapter 1, verse number 8 and 9, actually. We'll move forward here. You know, this gospel is a very narrow way. Right? It is exclusive, yeah. Look what it says here. In Galatians 1, 8, 9, Paul says, but though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now, don't you stop there. Think about that for a second. Paul is saying, he's pronouncing a curse on anyone that preaches a false gospel. And you think we preach too hard on the streets when we preach and tell people that these false prophets are leading men to hell and God hates what they do? Well, the Apostle Paul said, let him be accursed. That's damned to hell. You get it? That's an accursed thing. Cursed is everyone that hangeth from a tree. Christ was accursed for us. Do you understand? He took my damnation. So you'll forgive me if I'm not some monotone, soft, squishy preacher up here, and I'm actually preaching the Word of God, and I have passion to talk to you about it. As we said before, he says it twice, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Look, you guys got to be nicer. You got to speak more. Look, you're never going to reach anybody not being friendly. You know something? That old preacher that preached to me, he wasn't very friendly. I'll be honest with you. He wasn't friendly at all. He just squared his shoulders, that old man did. He just looked at me and he just fired away. And God used it to melt my heart. You know what they're talking about? Men with smooth words and sweet speech. They're the ones that deceive you. Right? Ephesians 5:11. The Bible warns us of. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. No fellowship. And reprove them. You got to go a step further. It's not enough that you don't do those things. You got to do more than that. You got to reprove those things. Amen. Philippians chapter 3. Paul's warning us here in Philippians 3, 1 and 2. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Now, he's not talking about Dolly. He's not talking about Sheba. And he's definitely not talking about Buster. All right? He's not. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. The Judaizers, right? Beware of those Hebrew roots. Beware of them. Beware of those work salvationists. Beware of them. Beware of dogs. Paul's calling those men dogs. You get it? He's calling those false prophets. He's calling them dogs. Look, did Jesus ever call anybody names? Yes. Yes, he did. So did John the Baptist. Amen. Right? Mm-hmm. Right, a dog. Yeah. It was a Goya. Right? It was a dog, right? That was a phrase for them. Yeah, that's right. Amen. Colossians chapter 2. See, the ecumenical movement downplays doctrinal purity, but here we see it and refuses to practice biblical separation, but here we see it outlined. Paul outlines it everywhere in his epistles. Why? These are the epistles to the churches. He's given them direction on how they're supposed to conduct themselves so they know how to conduct themselves, what they're supposed to do, how they're supposed to operate. Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. He's warning them. Beware of them. Be thou ware also, he said in another place. Pay attention. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. Now, in this case, the tradition he's talking about is this. He's talking about the words of God. He's not talking about the vain traditions of men. He's not talking about just some good ideas that some people had or some quirky things that they followed. No, he's not talking about, you know, Judaism or something like that, some of the ceremonies. He's not talking about any of those. He's talking about this book right here. He's being specific that we, who are we? The apostles. That's what Paul is saying. That's the we are the apostles. Difference in the traditions of men and what the apostles laid down in the Holy Scriptures. So when somebody tries to tell you that, see, they followed traditions. No, he's being specific. You're not an apostle. You haven't seen Jesus Christ. Amen. And you weren't filled with the Spirit of God to write these things, which is why the power was given for them to do it in the first place. Very specific power. Amen. So you got to get that straight. These people don't have that straight, and that's why they get confused. Very quickly. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 3. See, these people don't take any importance in doctrine, the ecumenical movement, the spirit of unity. Has no importance of doctrine. But look what he says here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Paul was specific that they don't invent their own teachings, like the popes, like the Mormons, another testament of Jesus Christ, like the JWs, right? Like the restoration groups. That's what they do. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. You take this book and you war a good warfare. Holding faith and a good conscience. Faith first, the faith once delivered unto the saints, and a good conscience along with it. Do you see? So my good conscience is not my authority. The faith is first, and then my conscience, which agrees with the faith. Amen. That's how that works. Holding faith in and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. They put away the faith. See what it says there? Which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. They shipwrecked themselves. Right? Every word Bible, pay attention to it. It's there, right? Look what he says here. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Boy, that seems really nice, doesn't it? You know, you shouldn't talk like that and say things like that. Well, the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And he's the apostle of the Gentiles. And we were told to follow his teachings. What does he say here? Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan? What did he do? They churched him out of the church and they were delivered up unto Satan. Why? Because they were making people, their faith, shipwreck. So he delivered them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Right? Serious stuff, isn't it? It's Bible right there, friend. You can go and ignore it if you want to. It'll be at your own peril, though. I don't ignore that. I take that serious. The older I get in the Lord, the more serious I take it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3 through 5. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. This is the command to withdraw yourself from those in the ecumenical movement. Do you understand that? Amen. Those that hold to the spirit of unity. Right. We are to withdraw ourselves from them. Stay away from them. Withdraw thyself from them. Right. In the same chapter, verse 20, O Timothy, Paul is pleading with him here. Paul is beseeching him. Listen to what he says. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust.
Yep, that's right.
Do you see that? Keep it. That's right, the words. Keep it. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. Right? Keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings. Sometimes we're out there on the street and we're dealing with sinners and we're dealing with the religious that are the charismatics, and all they do is vain babble. It's just vain babbling. I can tell when Paul hits his limit with it because he just blasts them and they walk away. He's like, all right, I hit my limit. I'm done. I gave you enough chance. I listened to, what's that? Yeah, it's that obvious. Like, I'm done. Vain babblings. I'm done listening to you babble. Jacob, we do it too. I told the guys, the young guys, this woman was talking to them, to John and Lucius, and she was just babbling on and on about him. I said, just turn your back on her and ignore her. You're done. You don't need to listen to her. She's just vain babbling. Who cares? I didn't say those words of vain babbling, but they knew what I meant. She's just running her mouth. Just turn around. Don't listen to her. You give her the back is what you do. Amen. Or walk away. See ya. See ya, Jezebel. Catholic woman trying to tell me how people are supposed to live for God. How people are supposed to love. Yeah, the Catholic Church is the last one that's going to give me a lecture on love. It's like a Muslim giving me a lecture on love. Like that Muslim was trying to give us, Garrick. Oh, you got to love. You got to speak. Yeah, right. You mean love like Muhammad did? I said, hey, incidentally, how did Muhammad take Mecca? It sure wasn't with love. Unless it's the kind of love that the United States government spreads democracy with. Right? Because that's what he did. That's what Muhammad did. He went in with subterfuge. He went into to Mecca and took Mecca and then killed everybody in there, slaughtered them, and took Mecca. No, he wouldn't shut up, would he? Too bad for that guy. He'd make a great preacher if he got saved, man. He'd do all right. Who knows, though? We don't know what God's going to do with what we said to him, though, right?
Right?
We gave it to him. We gave him the truth, didn't we? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16. These are all the commands, by the way, against the ecumenical movement. This proves what we're supposed to do. These are commands. In verse 15, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that is not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun! People say that. Do you guys practice shunning? Well, of course we do. Don't you? I mean, yeah. Right. Do you shun people that leave? Well, if they're in sin. And if they want to get right with God, they can come back and get right with God too. But do we shun them? Of course we do. Why wouldn't you? Don't you believe what Paul said in the scriptures about it? I do. I don't hate them. There's a difference. I'm not Roman Catholic. I'm not looking to kill them. We want them to repent. We want them to get right with God. We want them to change, right? But look what else we're to shun. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. By the way, the reason he's saying that is because they provoke you. If you listen to this garbage long enough, it'll just provoke you to be angry and to give an angry response. That's why you just have to ignore them. You have to shun them and be like, nah, I'm done listening to you. And their words will eat as doth a canker. It's like cancer. Right? Yeah. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. This is a serious thing to separate from false doctrine and impurities and from wicked people. It's a serious thing. As you can see, as you go through it, like, these weren't like wonderful suggestions. These were commands. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. What was he saying here? Nevertheless, if they're saved, they're saved. It's talking about overthrowing the faith of some. What did it do? It sent them away from the church. He's not saying they were lost. What is he saying? He didn't know their condition. Right? He doesn't know, but he says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. So God knows whether they're saved or not. We don't know. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's what you tell them when you're on the street preaching to them and they don't know how to handle it. Well, no, I don't think you're saved. Why? Because it says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So when you're getting drunk and partying and sleeping around and everything, why should I believe you're a Christian? If you are, then repent. Now, does it change the fact that I don't believe you're one, whether you're one or not? Right? Because it says here, the Lord knoweth them that are his. But I'll tell you what. It would bother me a lot if somebody thought by my lifestyle I wasn't a Christian. It should challenge me, right? That somebody doesn't believe I'm saved because I live like a devil. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Amen. Let's see here. Good stuff, isn't it? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. A lot of verses through here, aren't there? Talking about this, the importance of this. Yep. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. Verse 13 says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. They're not only deceived themselves, but They deceive others, right? And they're being deceived. They deceive others, and they're being deceived at the same time. So half the time, they don't even know what they're doing. Titus chapter 1, verse 10 through 13. For there are many unruly and vain talkers. Oops, that's verse 10, but that's a good one too. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped. Now, Paul's not talking about stopping them through beating them, like the reformers. Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beast, slow bellies. This witness is true. Where? Well, how do you stop their mouth? Oh, you beat them up. No. What does he say? Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. He doesn't say injure them. He says rebuke them sharply. So sometimes you go out on the street and there's these religious people that they claim they're Christians. So what do? You rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. You know why most Christians never have to live this out? Because they don't go evangelize. Or you ladies that are at home, if family members come or distant family or even close family that's here and they come and they say something and they're religious, but they say things that are wrong. And you sit there and you say, no, that's not correct. In your house, no, that's not correct. And you tell them what is correct in the Bible. No, that's wrong. Right? My wife's done that to her mother and all kinds of them. You ain't gonna teach my children wrong in front of me. Right? I mean, we love you, we'll be kind to you, but we're gonna tell you the truth. Right? And my children, because of what they're trained in, and your children do the same thing. They're just kind of like, well, I know that ain't true. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. Your children are just like, yeah, right. That's what my children are like, yeah, right. Right? They're like, whatever. They kind of give the funny face like, what in the world was that all about? That's not true. Why? Because they're being taught sound doctrine. That's why. It's important, isn't it? It says, whose mouths must be stopped, right? And then verse 13, this witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply. It's what we do, right? Amen. Titus chapter 3. This is a Bible study and a sermon. You're getting both here, right? That's okay, though. Because you can use these. By the way, these verses are great verses to have right there and marked in your Bible when you're preaching and when you're on the streets and you're out there, right, and they say things. Well, the Bible says we're to rebuke you sharply. Amen? 2 Timothy chapter, Titus chapter 3, verse 9 through 11. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law. For they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition, burn. No. Right. That's Rome and that's Geneva, right? No. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. You reject him. Right. Knowing that he that is such is subverted. By the way, have you ever, you've talked to people before and you've seen that, right? Where you just ain't getting through to them, right? You are not going to get through to them. They're subverted. They're taken. Right? You're not going to get anywhere. They're subverted. You ain't going to get anywhere with them. They're already subverted, right? And sinneth. being condemned of himself. Wow, that's some serious stuff, isn't it? So you think Paul took this doctrinal purity and practice and separation very seriously from people that were teaching false doctrine and destroying men's lives and had a wicked practice about them and named the name of Christ? Yeah, he took it very serious. As serious as you and I should take it. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Whew. Wow. Second Peter chapter 3. Verse 17 and 18. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. There are so many more. I mean, I could go on and on and on the warnings that are given, but that's point number one. I better get to point number two because you're all getting hot and... That was a long point number one, wasn't it, Paul? Yeah. One thing you won't accuse me of before I die is not being thorough. Amen. Number two. And that's probably all the farther we'll get. How long have we been going, Andrew? Like 15 minutes? What's... How long have we been going? 60? No. Yeah. How long? Oh, that's it? Oh, you got at least another hour and a half. We're good. All right. Number two, true Christian unity is God-made, not man-made. Amen. God does it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6, God brought the body together, right? He brought together who's supposed to be in the body in Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 6. And as he's brought them together, right? Ephesians 4, what'd you say, Brother Andrew? Oh, 57. Since I started preaching, or? Because Paul likes me to go 3 hours minimum. I mean, he wants overtime when I'm at his house. Sunday's time and a half, or actually double time, so. Right, Brother Paul? Should be double time, right? Not for me. That's okay. In heaven, right? In heaven. Ephesians 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness. Now, we're not even touching this part yet. But we are, but we are going to in the future, Lord willing. With all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Amen. That's the unity of the Spirit. Now, we have a duty, and we'll get to that later. But do you notice something? It's God that does that, not man. It's God that does that. You and I have a responsibility towards that, but he's speaking to the church of Ephesus, and he's speaking to you, this church, Old Paths Baptist Church, that we have a responsibility to fulfill what we have, but it is God that has brought us together. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that? Amen. That's the real question, because it takes faith to believe that. If you have faith that you believe that it is God that's brought us together, then you believe it is God. Through this and through the commands that he's given us, he will perform that work. Amen. I can already see it. We're much more unified than we were even years ago. in the Spirit. Much more. Why? Well, because God takes us through trials and tribulations, and we suffer afflictions and persecutions, and we have to learn, and we have to grow, and we have to learn to love one another. And God teaches us to love one another. He teaches us to have a right spirit with one another, that we've got to forbear one another, and we got to walk in lowliness, which we'll get to. I won't preach that right now because it'll take me forever, and I won't finish this point. Turn to John chapter 17. But that's exactly what God wants us to do. Man, I'll tell you what, I hope this fan is good, Brother Andrew, because this thing's getting hot up here in the sun. I hear it going off here, this fan on this thing. It's like, phew. Usually don't hear this fan run. Is it? Yeah, maybe I better shade it a little bit, huh? Just a little bit. Now you won't be able to see it if I do that, I guess. Or I won't be able to see what I'm preaching here. I could do it by heart, but I'm not that smart, so it won't work, all right? John chapter 17, verse 21. This is a great high priestly prayer of Christ that he is praying for his people. John chapter 17, verse number 21. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. See, John 17:21 is often used by the ecumenical movement, this spirit of unity, as a proof text for their objectives. But they fail to point out that Jesus was not instructing Christians to create some sort of ecumenical unity. He was praying for God the Father to create it. A spiritual unity. It was God. The unity that Christ prayed for is one based on truth and on the Word of God. Look at John chapter 17 and verse number 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. How about that? Wait, you mean so that unity comes by keeping his word? Yes. This one. They don't have it, most people, so they can't have. They have a unity, but it's antichrist. Right. We have unity of the Spirit, right? They have the spirit of unity. There's a difference. And they can't figure us out. We confuse them. Verse number 8, for I've given unto them the words which thou gavest me. Man, I like this. This goes back to the inspiration series that we did, right? For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. That's this book, and that's why you have it, and that's why it's inspired today. Because he gave it to them. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. Amen. And have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. Amen. Isn't that powerful? Look at verse 14. Here it is again. Well, you want to talk about the words of God? You want to talk about the inspiration of scriptures? Just go through this chapter. Look what he says here again. I have given them thy word. And the world hath hated them. Why? Because you have their word. Look what he says. Because they are not of the world. Even as I am not of the world. You have this book, so you're not of the world. You have received these words, so you're not of the world. See, God already makes the distinction. When you follow this book, when you hold to this book in his body, this church, guess what? It's unity of the Spirit. How do we all speak the same thing? Right here. That you all speak the same thing. How do you do that? Right here. He gave you the words, didn't he? Amen. I like it. Verse 16 says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. It's pretty simple. Well, you don't fit in with us. Of course I don't. We want to fit in with a bunch of trannies and homos and drug addicts and fornicators and perverts and Do you want to fit in with them? Do you want to feel comfortable with them? I can't feel comfortable with them. When we walk up, if we don't take a banner out when we walk in anywhere, I'll give you another one. When your family walks into a grocery store, people go, they just look at you. Why? Because you don't fit in. Now you have to ask God, you have to search the scriptures, number one, and search your heart to figure out, well, do I want to fit in? Does it bother me that I don't fit in? Something's wrong with my heart if I have to fit in with these people. Now that could be a justification problem that you're not saved. Could be. Or a sanctification problem. That you're not sanctified walking in the Spirit, that you're rebellious to God, that your heart has not been, your heart is not sanctified. You have not sanctified the Lord God in your heart. Amen. I'm not saying everybody that feels that way or goes through those stages of things aren't saved. No, I'm saying they have to be sanctified. Do you get what I mean? Because I know there could be times where young people get embarrassed by different things and they're building their faith, they're growing in it and they're learning. I get that. I'm not saying you're not a Christian if you don't understand that or you don't go through that. What I'm saying is you have to understand that you're not supposed to fit in with them. And as soon as you get that nailed down and you understand that in your heart and you accept that in your heart, you'll be fine. Amen. You'll be fine. Because you'll do it upon the authority of the Scripture. Look at this. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's it. That's the unity of the Spirit right there, isn't it? Thy word is truth. Look what he says in verse 19. Or verse 18, we'll just read that. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Amen. See, the ecumenical movement downplays the importance of truth and doctrine. They downplay it. They don't like it. By the way, your family, I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to close with this because it'll be about that time. And I have a lot more to go, but we'll save it for Wednesday. That's the best part about expository preaching. There's never a lack of things to preach on the Word of God, right? You just keep going down. And by the way, I kind of like that I'm doing this on Sunday and Wednesday right now because it's keeping us into one. We need that unity of the Spirit right now as we're going in to do what we're doing for the next 3 weeks. This is our push time. And by the way, Satan is going to fight you over the next 3 weeks. He's going to try to get you mad at each other. He's going to try to get you to mad at yourself. He's going to try to get you to sin. He's going to tempt you. He's going to cause a stir in your family. He's going to cause behavioral problems, stir up behavioral problems in your home. He's going to try all kinds of different things, right? Dissatisfaction, discomfort, tiredness. You might be tempted to speak ill one of another when you get upset and you're tired. Have some forbearance and some patience with one another because it's going to be a grueling 3 weeks. Amen. So we need this. So God's timing was perfect. I was done with that other series. I just kept going with Ephesians and it was good. We need it, right? But we all have to work together. Amen? Because we all are truly in this together. Amen? But listen to me. Your family members that claim to be Baptists and they claim to be Christians and they claim to be all these things, if they do, don't downplay walking with God. Don't downplay a proper biblical doctrine and practice. Don't downplay that. You don't have to holler and scream at them. You don't have to preach to them like I'm preaching right now. But you know what? Don't let them be wishy-washy. Tell them the truth. Tell them the truth that their position is not right. That it's and according to the scriptures, you show them it's not right. You husbands, they need to know the difference. Your family and people around you, they need to know the difference. And our children need to know the difference. That it's not okay to put one foot in the world and one foot in the church. It's not okay to have a semi-separated life, but that we are children of the Most High God. We are saved by grace. And if you are a child of God, then you should walk like it. And we are not unified with many other churches. We are not unified with many of those other groups. We can't be. And we don't want to be. Unity is based on truth. Not the spirit of unity, that we just all got to get along to see people get saved. Well, the problem is you're not seeing people get saved. They're a bunch of false converts that are living like hell. Because they've never been born again by the Spirit of God. Because half of those churches don't preach repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. They don't even preach the gospel and they don't preach holy living. And that's why their people live like hell. And that's why there's no separation and no difference in their lives. There's no difference in the holy and the profane. And there needs to be in our lives, there needs to be a difference. God said we're not to live like that. We're to be separated. We're to walk with God and we're not to live like that. So you and I have a responsibility. We have a duty to walk with the Lord. We have a duty to live separated lives. We have a duty to walk with Christ. And that unity of the Spirit is very important. And we have it right here versus that ecumenical spirit, or that ecumenical spirit, right? That spirit of unity that they have. There's a difference in that unity of the Spirit. It's the Holy Ghost. It's centered around His words, His book, His indwelling, His power. That's what it's to be centered around. And by the way, when you don't walk in that unity in this church, when you don't, it sticks out like a sore thumb. You can't hide it. You can't hide it. If you're not walking with God, you don't hide it very well. If you're not living for God, you won't hide it very well. If your heart is not right, that's why you need to ask God to speak to your heart. You need to repent. If God's spoken to your heart of things right now that are not right, you need to get that right today with God. Don't wait. I don't do invitations because you've already gotten one. The invitation is when the preaching is preached that you get right with God. When God strikes a chord in your heart and shows you that you're wrong, you get right with God. You don't wait to have some preacher coax you into doing it. You don't wait for the soft music to play. You don't wait for any of those things. I don't believe in doing that. You know what I believe in? You and I getting right with God when the preaching of the Word of God hits our heart. We just ask God to forgive us. I don't need to know about it. You don't need to make a show of it. You don't need to stand up in front of everybody and show everybody how right with God you are. You just need to bow your head and get right with God Almighty yourself. You don't even need to bow your head. You just need to speak to God and get your heart right with God. Half of the stuff that goes on at most of those churches, the soft music plays, they're emotionally manipulated and they come forward to do something. Or that preacher extends that invitation out so long, then people come forth because they're hearing Moses scream out from the mountain, "Let my people go." But I don't do that because I believe it's the Holy Ghost of God that does that work. I believe the Bible is preached. It has the power of God. And if you need to get right with something, do it. Don't wait. Get your heart right. If there's areas of your life that aren't lining up with this book, then you repent. And don't you think God's going to let you get away with it either, because He won't. You won't hide in a church like this. Say, "Well, I can hide amongst the stuff." No, you can't. If your heart ain't right with God, you get it right with God. You don't need to make an announcement to everybody about you getting right with God. You need to tell God. We're not Catholics. I don't want to hear it either, right? I don't want to know where you didn't do something you should have done or whatever. I don't need to know that. It's right. Just do it. Yeah, just do it. You just get it right with God. Get your heart right with God. Because, by the way, we as a church, we need to be right with God. We are about ready to face some satanic opposition. It started this week on Friday, or when we were out preaching. I mean, it was heavy. And it's going to get heavier. So you and I have a responsibility all the time to walk with God. But you have a responsibility now to walk with God. We are heading into 3 serious weeks of work, of labor for the Lord. And it's a labor of love. And as your pastor, I am beseeching you, be right with God. Have your heart right with God and with one another. Don't look for reasons to be be disgruntled with each other these next 3 weeks. Don't look for reasons to be offended by each other. If somebody says something they shouldn't, water off a duck's back. If you don't know how that works, come over to my house. I got ducks. I'll show you how it works. All right? Don't let it stick. Don't be offended that easy. Love one another. Do your best not to offend each other on purpose because we love one another. That's why. But don't take anything that serious, right? And guys, when we're preaching out there, if I say something to you, I'm not trying to be hypercritical of you either. I try my best not to ever be that way because we are all men and we are capable of falling. And you guys, I want to say this to you. I want to encourage you with this. And I know this isn't part of my sermon, but it kind of is right now. And we'll close up and then you can eat because you're hungry. I appreciate how you have all handled yourselves this summer. We had a really stiff schedule. We were preaching out there with those sodomites, and they were aggressively angry, and they were not very nice. They were mean. They were striking. They were not nice, right? But you didn't handle it that way. I think you guys handled things very well under a lot of pressure. I mean, and by the way, I will say this, and I mean this. I think some of the best preaching we've had on the streets was this summer. I absolutely believe that. Doctrinally sound, strong delivery, empathy, kindness even, under stress, under people persecuting you, cops not doing their job and everything else. Spitting on you, striking you. Jacob got palm striked in the head. Man, I've wanted to do that to him for years. I wanted to lay the glory on Jacob for years. No. But you know something? You know something? Jacob didn't get, he didn't really even get angry with that guy. He said it didn't hurt. That's the reason why. If it hurt, he would have been mad, but no. But he didn't. And you know, Garrick stopped the guy from punching somebody else by just holding him. He didn't strike him. He didn't do anything like that. He just held him. So we handled it well. But listen, Satan's going to tempt you over the next couple weeks, all of us, when we're out there preaching, to maybe say something we shouldn't say. Let's not be provoked. And I've been provoked before to say things I shouldn't, and I know some of you have too. Let's watch our mouths, though, and say what God wants us to say. And let's remember, this book has the power. My fancy comeback to them are the things that I'm thinking, because I think a lot of things when I'm out there that I want to say. I really do. But they don't always need to be said. So let's watch our mouths when it comes to that. I'm not telling you to hold back. You know I don't want you to do that. But hold back on some of the comebacks, maybe, because we could do it easy. We know how to give comebacks, okay? We don't have a problem with that. But we hold back on that. Oh, that got me. Not the comment, but you're choking me up, Aaron. Thanks. But I think that air got me here a little bit. Anyway, but let's be careful, okay? That's all I'm going to say. And praise the Lord. But be ready, all of you. You're all involved in one way or another. To pray for your husbands, your dads, to be a part of that. You'll be cooking a meal for the Defeat of Jesse James on that Saturday for all of us. We'll all come together. You get together and work on that. Pastor Jeffrey, he'll be at my house most of the time anyway, so I won't have a problem with any of that. And I got, by the grace of God, I have plenty of food. So we'll feed those boys good out there. But anyway, you look to be a help to one another, okay? And be there because we all need one another. And I'm excited about this next 3 weeks. Dave, do you have something to say?
I just, in agreement with you, I think a lot about it when we are out and just the preaching, the conversations that we have had with some individuals.
Amen.
The fellowship with one another, the prayer before, really has been a blessing.
Amen. Great conversations, guys, on Friday night with all that going on. Amidst that stinking crowd of 70,000 psychopaths coming out of there, you guys had some great conversations, though, still with people. I seen them going on all over the place. You were still trying to, even some of those people that came up mad, then later you're talking to them. And at the end of that night, we had like five conversations going on it, right? After it started to slow down. So praise the Lord for that. A very productive time. So, and then be in prayer about all of our needs and all the things. Be faithful in your giving and everything else. We've got needs and things to take care of here over the next couple weeks. And for the, you know, just expenses and things like that. We know God will provide, though, and I'm excited about what God's doing. So anyway, Brother Paul, pray for us and ask the Lord to bless our food as well.